Part four of this, we're talking about discover, delight, develop, and deploying your spiritual gifts. Now, if you're new here to Calvary Gospel Church, and this may be new to you, we believe the Bible teaches that every newborn believer, every Christian is given specific gifts that God gives to His church, to His body, His saints. And we talked about discovering those gifts. We talked about delighting in those gifts this past Wednesday night. And develop, we're going to spend two lessons on develop, because developing and deploying are very important parts of this. So we're talking about developing your gifts. First we discovered them, then we celebrated, delighted in. And then what happens sometimes after you discover that you have a specific gift, whether it's a spiritual gift or maybe it's a natural talent that you have, and you've discovered that I can hit a baseball farther than anybody else on the block. As a kid growing up, there are a lot of things I discovered that were not spiritually gift-related, but I thought they were giftings. I could climb a tree faster than any other kid in the neighborhood. And I was frustrated because there's not a whole lot, other than lumberjacking, I guess, in Hayward, Wisconsin, there's not a whole lot of out there for tree climbers. But a lot of times we discover a gift, we delight in that, we discovered this, we're excited about this, and then it comes time to develop that gift, and then trouble sets in. We get frustrated at times, and we become fearful. And so developing our gifts can be a point of struggle for a lot of us. In order to properly develop your gift, I feel we must divide gifts into their proper category. And each category requires different levels of development. That only makes sense because in natural life, in the real world, if we could put it that way, if you're going to become a neurosurgeon, it's going to take more than just 2 years at MATC on medical knowledge to become a neurosurgeon. You're going to have to go through the MATC, then you're going to have to enroll in some sort of a university. You're going to have to get a four-year degree probably in nursing, and then you get into the doctor, and maybe my sister-in-law's looking at me because, like, I don't know what I'm talking about. She works in the hospital. I'm guessing it's probably a 6 to 8 year run minimum to be a neurosurgeon. I don't want anybody operating on my brain that just went through 2 years of tech school. I'm just telling you that. So now, if you're a plumber, you have to have 5 years of trade school. And you have to have, it was at least at one time, 1,200 hours of night school. And you had to have, I forget how many thousands of hours of day school, and you had to have over 10,000 hours on-the-job training to become a licensed plumber. In order to become a licensed plumber, it actually, in my day when I got my plumbing license, I was required to have more schooling than it would require to fly a 747 jumbo jet. Now, there's a lot of difference. I feel confident setting your toilet, but I don't feel confident landing your plane. Okay? So when we look at this, we look at ministry gifts. Ministry gifts are also in specific categories, three distinctive groups of ministry gifts. We find the first I would just call them ministry gifts, manifestation, gifts of manifestation. So we have ministry gifts of ministry, and I'm going to break these down, and then manifestation. And what manifestation means, it's the act of revealing something that was previously hidden or unclear. It often refers, the Bible often refers to God's power, his will, or his presence, and the way he reveals himself to humanity. So we have ministry gifts, we have manifestation gifts, and then we have motivational gifts. Now, when we look at these gifts, we can go into Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 13, which we've covered in the past. We're not going to read that this morning because of time. But here we find our five basic ministry gifts. I've referred to this in the past as the fivefold ministry. We have the ministry of the apostle. We have the ministry of the prophet, the ministry of the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. So those are our five ministry gifts. Now we get into manifestation gifts. These are gifts that you might have. We can find these in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 11. If you would like to write that down in your notes, this is where we find the words of wisdom. A lot of our people have words of wisdom. The Bible says that if you seek wisdom, ask of God for it. Wisdom is one of those gifts. You don't have to beg, you don't have to borrow, you don't have to plead, you don't have to fast and pray. All we have to do is ask of God for wisdom. We have the word of knowledge. The word of wisdom is different than the word of knowledge. And how you could look at that is the word of knowledge is we know a lot of information. We live in a world today that has access to more information than we've ever had access to in our entire lives. Any other generation before has never had as much information at their fingertips. How many times are you in a group of people and somebody will ask a question and you say, I don't know the answer to that, but just Google it. How many times have you been in an argument, husbands and wives, and I don't know, let's just Google it. How do we get there? I don't know, Google it. What's a good place to go tonight? What do they have on their menu? I don't know, Google it. We have all kinds of information. We have all kinds of knowledge. So the difference between knowledge and wisdom is we can have a lot of knowledge but not know how to apply that. So I look at knowledge and wisdom as knowledge is knowing all kinds of things, but not knowing when and where to apply that knowledge. Wisdom brings knowledge into perspective, puts it in perspective. We have the gift of faith. A lot of people have the gift of faith. We have the gifts of healing. We have the gifts of miracles. We have the gift of prophecy, discerning of spirits, and the gift of tongues and the interpretation of tongues. Now, these are our manifestation gifts. These are gifts that are found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 11. Then we have motivational gifts. Paul, he's the one that wrote Ephesians. Paul also wrote the book of 1 Corinthians, and he also wrote the book of Romans. So in Romans chapter 12, 6 through 8, he talks about motivational gifts. He talks about prophesying as well. He talks about service. He talks about teaching. He talks about exhortation. He talks about giving. He talks about administration. And he talks about mercy. So here we have our ministry gifts. We have our manifestation gifts, and we have our motivational gifts. Now you can go on Google, and you can look this up, and you can find different names for these gifts. I've chosen to use these three. They all start with M, so they're fairly easy to memorize for memory pegs. But you can look these up, and you can take and begin to take your gifts and use this as a template to overlay and find out what gifts you have in which specific category. So how do we develop our gifts? So we develop them simply, one simple thought can sum it all up. We develop them by using them. So we look at some more of Paul's writings. Paul was writing to a young Timothy, I call him young Timothy. He was probably in his early 20s. He might have been 24, 25. I'm not positive exactly. If Scripture tells us how old he was, he just refers to him as Timothy. He's a young man that he's mentoring. And so we read in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 13 through 16. And I'm going to use this passage this morning to help you and to help us to understand how we develop our ministry. So I'm reading from the NIV. So he's writing to Timothy, and that's the 1 Timothy. He wrote two different letters to Timothy, and that's where we get 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy. So he says, until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching, and to teaching. Until I come. So Timothy, I want to paraphrase, I want to inject some of my own opinion, I guess, if I could put it this way, my own thoughts into this. So Timothy, right now, I'm not able to make it to where you are. So I'm writing this letter. And the reason I'm writing this is because I don't want time to be wasted in the development of your gifts and of your ministry. So I'm writing you this letter, and while I am away, I want you to devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture. So I want you to place yourself in the synagogues and place yourself in the places of worship, and I want you to devote yourself to reading Scripture publicly. Now, if you're developing a gift of preaching or a gift of teaching, or maybe you're developing a gift of exhortation or administration, one of the biggest issues that we have in developing our gift is being able to properly communicate it. So what Paul is basically telling Timothy to do is just go somewhere and gain some confidence by doing some public reading of the Word of God. It's that simple. Wasn't anything difficult. He said, go read public reading of Scripture. Then he says to preaching and to teaching. So once you've gained some confidence in just the reading of the Scripture, then take and add some thoughts to that. Get you out some parchment and get you out your pen and take and scratch down some thoughts. And when you go in next time to read in the synagogue, you read that passage and then you explain yourself a little bit. Explain the Scripture to preaching and to teaching. He says, do not neglect your gift. Don't ignore what God has given to you. Don't take and put it on the back burner. God has given you a gift. You use that gift. Don't neglect it, which was given to you through prophecy. So somewhere along in Timothy's life, he was at a midwinter camp in Eau Claire or in Green Bay or in Oak Creek, and some pastor, some preacher, some teacher prophesied over him that he was going to be a pastor or a preacher or a teacher. Has that ever happened to you in a camp meeting somewhere, perhaps? I remember when this exact same thing happened to me back, I had felt called into the ministry at 15, 16 years old. I wasn't for sure. I struggled with it. I neglected the gift. I was around 24 years old at camp, the same building that God had called me when a minister, a preacher was preaching, and I felt a calling into the ministry, and I was afraid of that, and I didn't want to do that. So here I am from 15, 16 years old. It's 24 years old. I'm up there in the same building at Camp Shawnee Church Camp. A lot of us have been there, and an older man is preaching to a small group of home missionary ministers that are planting churches across the district. And my mom and dad were there, and dad kind of, come on, son, come to breakfast with us. And I didn't want to go to breakfast because I knew what that would mean, going to church. And I didn't want to go to church because I'm up there and it's our wedding anniversary, and we're going to go rafting on the Wolf River. And that's what I came up there to do. I didn't come up here to go to church service. So we go to breakfast and we go to church. And as this minister's preaching, and I'm sitting there, and life begins to reflect in my mind. It begins to reflect back. And as he's preaching and talking about your calling and the gifts that God has given you, and I remember saying, Lord, if you really spoke to me that day, all those years ago, nine years ago, Lord, if you spoke to me and you've called me into ministry, then before I leave today, I want someone to tell me that what I experienced at 15, 16 years old, this is what God wants me to do. And I kid you not, Brother Peter, I no more got those words out of my mouth and I felt a hand go on my forehead. Now we're sitting in the tabernacle, the old tabernacle there, and we were like from here to the coat room away from the front. Everybody's all bunched around the front, and we're these two backslidden, well, one backslidden, my wife was following me, renegades sitting way in the back because I wanted to hit the door as soon as I could, because we were going rafting and nothing was going to stop me from going rafting. We never went rafting, by the way. I felt this hand on my head, and the first words out of this man's mouth was, as I called you years ago, I call you again today. And that really hit me. And the reason it hit me so hard is because I had asked God the same thing. I said, Lord, if you called me years ago, call me again today. And so when Paul is talking to Timothy, he says, do not neglect your gift, which was given to you through prophecy, when the elders laid their hands on you. I just want to give this out today, giving you a little bit of life story as a warning, because there may be one or two or more people here that this same similar circumstance has happened to you, and you have let years go by in your life, and you are neglecting the gift that God has called you to do. I just want to tell you, it's a long, lonely, rough, hard road when you neglect the gift that God has given to you, especially when an elder or a body of elders lay their hands on you and prophesy. God wants you. God's calling you. God has planted within you a specific gift, and he wants you to use that. Then he goes on and he says, be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. Now, I, on the other hand, did exactly opposite of what Timothy did. That day, for the next 12, 13 years, I ran as hard as I could away from that gift. Don't do that. Don't be dumb. I'm just telling you. It's a hard, dumb road. Be diligent in these matters. God calls you. A group of elders prophesy over you, Timothy. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. In other words, Timothy, make yourself accountable to your elders. Really? You mean if God gives me a gift of prophecy, I have to make myself accountable? God called me to be a prophet, and I'm not going to be accountable to anyone. Good luck using your gift. I know people that have that attitude. Well, I have the gift of prophecy. So what? I have the gift of gab. I can talk. You see, attitude, your personal attitude. Now, Timothy could have got this letter and he could have read that and he could have thought, what? Seriously? I got to go to the temple every day and I got to read? What purpose does that serve? Everybody there is a scribe, a Pharisee, or a hypocrite. What's the point in reading to them? They know it all already. Well, because Timothy, I'm trying to take and I'm trying to teach you some things. I'm trying to teach you how to speak publicly. I'm trying to teach you how to get over the, I talked to a young man this past week and he said, how do I put together a Bible lesson or a message? I said, write it down longhand and then get up and read it. And the reason you do that is because when you write it longhand, you don't have the us in it. So you read it, and you sound like you know what you're talking about, even though you may be shaking in your boots. Devote yourself. Pay attention. Make yourself accountable. Trust me, if you have any gift that I mentioned, from ministry to manifestation to motivational, it doesn't matter what gift you have to be accountable in that gift, period. There's an accountability process, just like when you go to work and you punch in. The boss expects you to be accountable. If you work in a grocery store and it's stocking shelves, then they expect you to be stocking shelves. No matter what it is. And the body of Christ, God, is no different. The pastoral staff, the pastoral team, we are no different. The leadership is no different. The reason that we are this way is so we can all grow in ministry. And then he goes and he says, watch your life. This is a big thing. Verse 16 says so much in it. He says, Timothy, watch your character. Hear me now. Some of you young folks wanting to get into ministry, listen, character starts now. It doesn't start when you're 18 or 20 or 25 or when you can spell it. Character starts right now, right here. Integrity, you're building it now. Some of you young people have a great deal of character and integrity, and some of you struggle in that area. Understand, we all struggle in it. He says, watch your life, watch your example. People ask me, why don't you do this, Pastor? Because people watch. Not everything that I do or don't do, I feel is a sin. But I don't do certain things that because I don't want people to get the wrong impression. I don't go certain places because I don't want people to get the wrong impression. I guess I could throw an example out there so you can, your mind can stop trying to figure out. I heard that Ho-Chunk Casino has one of the absolute biggest and best
buffets you can get anywhere in southwest Wisconsin. They got food galore. You want good food, that's where you go. You want lots of it, that's where you go. You want it reasonably priced, that's where you go. But you know why I don't go there? Because I don't want somebody to walk in and think that, wow, I wonder if Pastor was in there with some missions money trying to get a little bit more. I don't want somebody that doesn't know me but is acquainted with me. They don't know me personally, but they know of me to see me and say, I saw Pastor Roy at Ho-Chunk. I wonder what he was doing there. I'm thinking, man, they got the best shrimp and steak. And watch your life. Watch your life. Watch your doctrine. Boy, I'm not getting very far in this lesson at all. Watch your doctrine. What is doctrine? Doctrine is what you believe. It's your core beliefs. Watch what you believe. Timothy, don't get caught up in all these YouTube pastors and their doctrines that sound really good. Did you know they had YouTube back in those days? They did. They were called the scribes and the Pharisees. And that's why Jesus lumped them all and said scribes, Pharisees, and hypocrites. Because they were telling one thing and living another. So he's telling, watch your doctrine. What you believe. We're going to do a series here coming up after this one and sometime within the next. Anyway, does doctrine matter? Yes, doctrine matters. It matters immensely. So watch your life, watch your doctrine. Then he says, persevere in them. What does it mean to persevere? Anybody want to throw a persevere? What does it mean? Come on, somebody here has to know the word persevere. To what? Hang in there. Don't quit. Keep pushing. You go to the temple and you go to read and you get feedback and you get pushback. You go back again, Timothy, and you keep doing it. Why do you do it? Because when I come to see you in a few years, a few months, whenever it may be, I want to know that you have made progress. Watch yourself, your life, your doctrine, persevere in them, because if you do, now listen to this. Man, Paul says a mouthful here. He says, if you do, you will save both yourself and those people that are listening to you, your hearers, your congregation, your audience. That's amazing. Paul had so much insight, not just for them or for Timothy, but for us today. So here, Paul, the mentor, he's talking to his youthful protege, Timothy, about pastoral ministry, about preaching and teaching and shepherding and doing all the work of evangelists, all the things that go into being a pastor. And he says in 1 Timothy 4, 13 through 16, he says, until I come. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of the word of scripture, of preaching, to teaching. Devote yourself. Don't neglect the gift. It was given to you through a prophetic word. What a powerful gift that you have, Timothy. Don't neglect it. Another version says, fan it into flame. I like that. Fan it into
to flame. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. Understand something. This is not, look at me, I've got a gift. Look at my progress. It's working in humility. It's keeping yourself accountable and allowing people to see that you are actually growing up. Isn't that cool? We have Christmas and all the little grandkids come around and the nieces and nephews. And man, they're all growing up. My goodness, little Poppy. She's little Arlo's just like her little, it's like I know how to take care of him. I'll take care. Mom and Dad, you're not doing this right. I think it was Lori telling us this. No, Dad, this is how you do it. She was up here. How many of you saw her at the Christmas program? Little Poppy up here. She's over here with that blanket. She's Mary. And, man, she couldn't get that blanket right. And she's just like, you can just see the frustration on her face. She's holding a plastic doll. But in her mind, She was holding baby Jesus, and baby Jesus needed to be wrapped in swaddling clothes, and he's not wrapped in swaddling clothes right, and I'm going to keep working on this until I get that baby in swaddling clothes. Timothy, let it be said here in Ephesus that when they come 5 years later, so he's ministering in Ephesus. He says, let it be said, Timothy, that when Bishop comes 5 years from now, let it be said that when I come 5 years from now, that you're a much better preacher than you were 5 years ago. Now, you could be hurt by that statement, because what that is insinuating is right now, you're not so good. I want to tell a story. We're going to close with this. It's humorous. I remember a number of years ago. It was within the last 10 years, but I was preaching, and I preached a Sunday morning message. And I got done, and, you know, I thought I did okay. And I'm shaking people's hands, and I'm talking with a saint in the church, and this saint reminds me that I didn't do a very good job that Sunday morning. And Brother Phil walks by. And this individual grabs Brother Phil, pulls him over, and says, now, Brother Phil, he knows how to preach. I love listening to Brother Phil preach. And then Brother Ben Thompson walks by to add insult to injury and says, and Brother Ben, you did such a phenomenal job just a week or so ago, and I love hearing you preach. You do such a good job. And then the person looks at me and points their finger and says, and you, not so much. Now, I kind of looked at that and said, well, you know what? Forget this. I'm done with this. I could have got mad at Brother Ben because he does a better job. I could have got mad at Brother Phil, and I could have said, well, I'm not putting you on the schedule anymore. I could have got an attitude. Now, one thing that Bishop taught me, and he said, you know, son, sometimes critics can be right. And sometimes it can hurt when they're right. I'm not saying that I'm any better then than I am now. I'm hoping that I've increased some. I don't say and ah.
They're not in my notes. Thank you, Brother Dave. But you see, I knew what God had called me to do. Let's stand. Musicians can come. I did not get through anywhere close. We're going to finish this Wednesday night. Wednesday night, I'm sorry, folks. The gift of gab, it just came out. Couldn't stop it. But, you know, I learned some things over the last 10 years. And one is if you keep working at it, you keep trying, you keep pushing, you keep persevering, you stay true to your beliefs, you stay accountable, you stay true and you believe the doctrine and you stay true in the doctrine. But you know what? You can improve. You can get better. You can have those same people that used to not think so much. Now think the world rises, the sun rises and sets. You see, I want to be a much better preacher tomorrow and the next day that I am today. Every time I preach, I pray the same prayer. I've done this for 12 years. 2 years, a year and a half as co-pastoring and 10 years as pastor. I say, Lord, I want to do the best of my ability. I want to take this gift that you've given me, the gift that I neglected for so many years, God, and I want to make it shine because I represent you. I'm doing this for you, God. I'm not doing this for myself. I want to see your church. I want to see us as individuals, as families, as a collective church body. I want to see us grow in Christ, to mature. I want to see us as we mature, that we win people, that through our lives that we can win other people and people can see and can feel there's something different here. What do I feel different here that I don't feel the last place I went to church? I want them to feel your presence, Lord. I want them to feel the Holy Spirit. So church, devote yourself to spiritual ministry so that everyone may see our progress. Everyone will see that you are maturing. I am maturing. Study it. If you're in administration today, be the best you can be. If you're taking pictures, make me look the best I can look, please. But those young people taking pictures, you always have me looking like this. I told my wife, I said, next time one comes up and going to take my picture, and just as they're ready to take it, I'm going to go, be the best. If it's an usher, a greeter, a Sunday school teacher, be the best. If it's a musician, be your best. If you're singing, worship leader, be your best. Let's be our best. We're not doing it for ourselves. We're doing it so that the rest of us can mature. Study it as a science, as an art. Show yourself approved. So as our worship team begins to lead us in worship, I want to challenge you today. I hope this message was was challenging. We'll finish it on Wednesday night. We're going to get into more detail and some of the aspects of it. But if you're struggling with developing what you feel God has laid on your heart, maybe even someone has prophesied over you and you are just not getting there, I just want to challenge you this morning to come up. Have that moment with God. Say, okay, God, I may miss out on rafting, but you got so much better. You got so much more. So as our worship team sings, I want to invite you to come down to the front. Maybe you've never